Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Bottled Water. Now, for the sake of those listening, you're not here, you can't see what's going on. There are bottles of water down here on the edge of the stage, everything from 8 ounces to 5 gallons. And we're going to use this today as a part of the message. And I'm going to need your participation, everybody that's willing, and hopefully everybody will be willing. There's a plastic tub in front of me here that's empty, and we're going to use that as well. And the bottles of water represent what God provides to meet your needs through work, retirement, trust funds, whatever it is, whatever you have. And what I'd like you to do is pick a bottle and pour a portion of it. We're not asking you to pour all of it in, just a portion of it in, and say, you know what, this is what I think ought to be the part that God gets back, and then I'll take the rest and keep it. Or you have the option to take it all back with you and just keep it. Or you have the option not to participate and starve to death, but that's your choice. So if everyone would grab you one of these bottles and just pour a little bit in this bucket, whatever you think, look at your bottle. That represents what you've got in your life. And remember, you got bills to pay and all kind of stuff to do. And whatever you take back with you is what you're going to have to live on. You can get big or small, whatever you can carry. Just get something you'd have. Now remember, just what would you give back? This represents, let's say, what comes in every month. What would you be willing, if what comes in every month, you think about what comes into your house every month, if you said, okay, God, I'm willing to give back a little bit of it, what would that be? And I know it's making a lot of people need to run to the restroom, so that's another problem we have with this. Now, remember, whatever you keep is what you got to live on this month. So look at your bottle. We're almost there. Keep the bottle with you. It represents what you had individually. It could be a couple, however you want to do it. All right, now I know this takes a minute to do, and we got a few more coming through. And it looks like almost everybody felt comfortable participating, and there's nothing mandatory about this. But isn't it fascinating how easy it was to take a bottle of water, and some people opened up their bottle and did what? Just poured the whole thing in it, just without even thinking about it almost. So take your checkbook out and do the same thing. You say, well, but that's just water. Well, this represents what you felt comfortable saying, okay, Lord, this is, you've given this to me, and I'm willing to give something back. Now, what is he asking for back? Where did you get the water to begin with? You say, well, I made it myself. God didn't provide anything for me. I work hard for my money. And there's where the problem is, my money. And the problem that people have with this whole money thing, and we don't talk about money around here a lot, but you know what? It's a big problem. I think somebody told me the other day that 50% of marriages fail, and 90% of the marriages that fail, fail because of financial problems. It's a problem. And there are issues. There is stress. Somebody quoted the other day, you know, you got more month than money is basically the quote, and you're all stressed, and what am I going to do? Now, some of you came down here and took your bottle and poured. You kind of looked at it and thought, well, you know, my deal is 10%. I'm going to pour 10% in. And you went back and you got about 90% of your bottle left. Now, what are you going to do with that? My contention is that what you do with the 90% that remains has a lot to do with what you did with the first thing off the top. I'm trying to talk to you today about this. If the bottled water represents your life and what God has provided for you to live, and you are willing to acknowledge that without him you can do nothing, you got nothing, that in him we live and move and have our being, so I don't even have breath, I don't even have life to go to work and make a living, it all reflects back to him, and everything you get comes from God. And all he says is a simple word used in the Old Testament and in the New. It's a simple word, first fruits. Which means if I take one of these bottles that is sealed and it shows up to me, what God says is, here's the deal. When you get what I provide you, when you pop the seal on what I send your way, I want right off the top something reflective of your worship to me and acknowledgement that it came from me and it's not yours. Now, what do we end up doing? We take the bottle, take a swig. Oh God, I'm thirsty. We take a swig, drink all the water. And what does he end up with at the end? Either backwash or nothing. And we drink and drink. And then we get down to the bottom and go, oh God, I'm sorry. We'll have to check on you next month. Now, what's fascinating about our experiment today is that tub's full. And when we came in, it was empty. And you still got water, and there's water in the tub. Now, what does this tub represent? If you're going to have a church, you're going to have salaries. And you know, I used to get all fidgety and apologetic, and I'm done with that, so I'm about to read you something about that today. You know, if you work, you get paid. So the church has people to pay, me, staff at the office. We got rent to pay on facilities we meet in. We have missionaries that we support. And the only way we do anything that we do is that tub right there. And where does it come from? See, some people think, well, there's some big old billionaire that backs his water truck up once a year and fills up some tub somewhere, and I can just show up and put $5, a little fuel, you know, water drops in the bucket because they don't need my help. Wrong. It takes everybody doing it. Now, we got everything I said from 6 ounces to 5-gallon drum. You say, well, I got more than somebody else. Then you can probably give more than somebody else. And we'll see some verses about that in a minute. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, 7. Let's go at this first fruits thing. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father the Son in whom he delights. Now, why did I read verse 11 and 12? Because some of you are living 11 and 12 because you're not living 7, 8, 9, and 10. Now, how does God get your attention about an issue? You got trouble with money? You know how he's going to get your attention? With money. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you're going to do something about it, or it's just going to get worse. He is coming after you. And it is fascinating to me. You meet people who do the right thing, and I'm telling you, I've had conversation after conversation. Now you say, well, I gave, and it's been a year. God's not giving anything back. It's not a slot machine, and some crops come in faster than others. You just got to decide, either I'm going to trust God or I'm not. I'm going to give him the first fruits, and it's his problem to back up his word. I'm going to do what he told me to do. Now, this is one of the scariest things on the planet for some people because they don't get it or they don't understand it, and it takes faith or it wouldn't be God. I mean, it's going to take some faith to start this process. But you know, beyond all that, you know why some people can't give? Because your bottle of water is already overcommitted. You're going to have to go to the water bank and borrow water to pay all the stuff you've got going. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe we ought to cut some of our expenses so we don't have so much water going out? So when God says, all right, give me the first fruits, then there's not panic about the rest. Wouldn't it be cool to give God some, pay all your bills, and go, well, my gosh, there's water left in that bottle. What am I going to do with that? Now what do? You look around the room and say, you know what? That guy's honoring God, trusting God. He didn't have a job for 6 months. Their house payment's due. They're doing everything they can to do the right thing. I believe I'll go across the room, take some of my water, and pour it in his bottle. I've taken care of the church. I'm providing for that, meeting the needs of the local church that I expect all this stuff from. But now God's given me leftover water to go out and help other people. Do you have any idea how fun it is to take a little cash, put it in a sealed envelope where it's not traceable, slide it under somebody's door, and they never know where it came from, and God get all the glory? Try that sometime. Hear about a family in need. You know why I know that's so fun? Because I've looked under my door before and found the money. And you want to go find somebody and thank them, and you realize it's not traceable. Someone felt prompted, knew there was a need, and took care of it. As cool as it is to have that happen to you, let me tell you something. There ain't nothing like doing that for somebody else. But you don't have anything left to do that with. Now, if you give God the first fruits, and you say, well, how much is that? I don't know. How much is that? For some people, it was the whole bottle. Some of y'all have been leaning to give for a long time. You poured everything you got in there. Now, is God asking for that? I don't know. Maybe 1 month he is, but it's going to take a lot of faith to write a check for everything you've got. That wouldn't be responsible. It's not about getting rich so you can go buy you a house and a boat and all these things. It's about being a steward. There's a difference in stewardship and ownership. When you're a steward of something, it isn't about you controlling it because it's mine and you can't have it. It's about saying, okay, God, I'm going to get this straight. The stewardship thing works once I understand that the ownership that I have over it is given to me by you, which makes me only a steward of it, not an owner of it. And then you're only dispensing the funds where God sees fit. And if you're going to ask him and talk to him about the first fruits, then you know what? Then when you go to spend everything else, you're talking to God already. You're going to ask him, can I buy these shoes? Can I buy this house? Can I buy this car? So then whatever comes into my account, whatever's deposited for me to live on, you know what? I say, okay, God, I've done that. I got this. What do I do with this? And then if there's some left over, or he prompts me and says, give it to this, give it to that, then we manage that accordingly. But you better get rid of the stuff up front. Don't be taking any sips up front. Get it out of there. You say, well, what if I don't have enough left? Then you may have to make some changes in your house, or you're going to have to trust God to provide for you. Heaven forbid we do that. But how's our scrambling working out for us? You scramble, you connive, you borrow, you get a credit card. I mean, the most dangerous thing in America today almost is that envelope that comes in the mail. You have been pre-approved for $5,000 of credit. And some people get that and go, oh, praise the Lord, there's the answer to our prayers. That's part of the curse. And you run another $5,000 up before you know it, you're $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, $35,000 in the hole in credit cards. Oh, but that's why God blessed me with a house and I can get a second mortgage to pay all that off. Stop digging a hole. Stop. Something's got to give. If you got a certain amount going out and a certain amount coming in, you know what? You might have to move. You might have to sell a car. You might have to change what kind of car you drive. You might have to make a change. You say, I'm not giving up anything to have anything. And that's the problem. I got to have it now. I won't suffer. I won't sacrifice. I'm going to have the American dream now, and I'll pay for it later. And you know what? You pay for it. Your family falls apart because the stress is just insurmountable. Will Rogers, too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. Go to Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book in the Old Testament if you're looking for it and don't believe it's in there. The Italian prophet Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Let's jump in here about verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, well, in what way shall we return? We haven't gone anywhere. Then he comes back and says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? What are you talking about, God? In tithes and offerings. That's what he says. You are cursed with a curse. Now, let me tell you something. I don't like the sound of the word curse. Somebody saying you're cursed with a curse, that sounds like something down in New Orleans or in the islands or something. I don't want to be cursed with any curse. You say, well, he's talking to them back in the Old Testament. It doesn't apply anymore. Let me tell you something. There are certain principles that just apply. Now, explain to me, if it's not some kind of curse or let's just go with some bad thing, then why are you living the way you're living? What is it? Is it abundant life? Is it joy, peace, no anxiety, no stress? Now, I understand there's extenuating circumstances. Maybe you got a medical emergency, something that happened. But you know what ought to happen then? A church ought to respond. A church that's walking with God, talking with God, listening to God, who's got their bottle and some left over, then somebody stands up and says, we had surgery, we got $10,000 worth of doctor bills. There ought to be, in the economy of a church, people who come along with the rest of what they got and say, you know what, either under your door or right here, I'm going to put a little more in your tank. And you're not going to shoulder this alone because we're a church. And if I was in trouble, I would want you to help. We're a family. What do families do? You say, well, I don't know what kind of family you're talking about. My family says, to heck with you, and dumps me. That's not what the church family is supposed to be about. You say, well, I thought it was just about giving money to the church. You start there. You got to support and undergird the ministries of a church. But let me tell you something. God can prompt you to give above and beyond that anywhere he wants to. And it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So get in on the action. He says it's in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Go to Acts chapter 2, New Testament. You want to know what a church looks like? And I used to read this and go, wow, whatever that is, that's back in the, you know, Jesus day, and it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't apply to us. Whatever they're talking about, it doesn't work. It should work. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and following. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And look what happens to this group. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now look at verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So for some reason, God's blessed you and you've gotten to the place where you've stockpiled some stuff and you hear of a need. Someone has a surgery or whatever we've described, some need. And the Holy Spirit prompts you and says, sell the 2 acres you've got out on the lake and give that money to that family. End of story. And you say, yes, sir, put it on the market, it sells, and you transfer that money. You say, well, what about my 2 acres and my money? It ain't your money, there's no my to it. The owner said, move it. And you either said, yes, sir, or no, sir. And you know what? You're gonna die with your 2 acres, a bitter old man or woman wondering, well, what happened to my life? Because you locked down, you shut down, and didn't figure out it's all God's anyway. Now, let me tell you something. This may be scary for you, but at some point, this gets so stinking fun, you'll get addicted to giving. And some people have little rough bumps in the road up front because they still want a little glory. And you're like, well, could we put my name on that stained glass window? My family's name, my mama's name, some name? Say, no, no, we don't need any names. You just give it where nobody gets the glory but God, and then that's how it works. So now you're conniving and you set up a trust fund in another state so that when the check goes, it's not traceable. I know people who'd go through all these hoops so you can't find them. And all the person can do is say, thank you, God, and he gets the glory and he gets the honor and he gets the praise, and that's when it's working. What else? 1 Corinthians 9. Now you say, well, I don't believe all that Old Testament stuff and the tithe doesn't exist anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 4 and following. And Paul's writing straight up to these Corinthians. He says, do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its own fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? He says it's normal everyday stuff. Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. You even let an ox eat the grain it's treading. Is it oxen God is concerned about, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded. Now look at this. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. You know why I get a check? Because I work. You say, well, you don't do anything but read the Bible and meet and talk with people. You know what? You don't think that's bad when you're the one calling saying, do you have some time? You just study the Bible all the time. I wish. You people are so screwed up, you're calling and bother me all the time. I could study the Bible more. Get your lives together and leave me alone. Galatians 6:6. Let me just read you a few of these. You can turn there or write it down and go later. Galatians 6:6. Let him who is taught the word share in all things with him who teaches. 1 Timothy 5:17-18, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Biblically, we got to take care of people. And there is nothing wrong. This is the process. And I think, okay, God, look at that bucket. It's full here. What if it was full to overflowing? And now, what else are we going to spend money on? You only need to pay people so much. We pay our rent. Think of the people, the outreach we could do, the missionaries we could support, if you guys would just open your bottle and do the right thing. And you say, well, that would change the church, but it's going to hurt me. No, it's going to benefit you too. You can't lose on this deal. Now you say, well, I don't know, that's the craziest thing I ever heard, and you're just trying to raise money. For what? I'm not building anything. We got no building plans. We got no debt, nothing. I'm just saying there's a ton more stuff we could do, but we are limited because you got the bottles. And that's why we're calling it bottled water. Bottled means it's restrained, it's restricted, it's all packed together, and you've got control of it. What was the preacher that stood up and said, I got good news and bad news. We got all the money we need for the budget, and the bad news, it's in your pockets. John Paul Getty said, money is like manure. You have to spread it around or it smells. The word stagnant, not growing or changing, without force or vitality, not circulating or flowing. If your life is nothing but some place that God says, okay, here, I'm going to bless you one more time. You go, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's all mine. It's all mine. You know what you're going to end up? A dead sea that nothing can live in it or by it. It's just dead. And you say, well, why do I feel so dead? You got nothing circulating through you. Your life has gotten stagnant. For God's sake, if he blesses you, he's not asking you to give 90% and live on 10, although some people get to that point and love the fact that they can do it. He says, give 10, 20, whatever it is he tells you to give. And he says he likes it when it's cheerfully given. So we're not up here milking cows. Then it flows to you. And you go, Father, wow, look at this. And now some can flow through me. And what a great thing this is. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now let me give you a description of a church who's under tremendous pressure. These people have got jack. They are under stress. They are persecuted. They are poor themselves. And it's funny to me, the poorer the person, the more generous they tend to be unless they really get it. And I hate to tell you this, and sometimes just humanly, I'll look up and see somebody all dressed and blah, 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 and looking the part, and they got a car, and you know, you have this impulse, oh, maybe they're going to change the church. And the Holy Spirit says, you know what? It don't happen very much. And if they do, they're probably going to want something anyway. Come tugging on your deal. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. It's everybody pouring a little bit in that makes it happen. So we're not going to be chasing some big money. We're going to take care of each other and just keep plowing one row at a time.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but look at this phrase, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Now, let me tell you something. I can preach on money, tithing, giving, and I might get you feeling guilty a little bit. And okay, I'll give a little more. But you know what? Unless you have given yourself to the Lord first, you will never consistently give of your money, your time, anything to God. It has to be out of a relationship or you're just doing it grudgingly, not as a cheerful giver. You know, we'll take it either way, but I'd like it better if you enjoy doing it. They first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. You're growing and doing great in all these other areas. Don't leave this one out. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Talk about somebody rich giving it all up. Now, you know what? Somebody did this. Somebody came down here to this bucket. A few people did, and they opened their bottle. And you know what they did? They stood here and did that. Poured the whole thing out. You say, well, how are they going to live? That's Jesus. He poured it all out. He laid it all down. He was rich, and yet he became poor. He emptied himself somehow, still God, but a man, said, you know what? I'll leave it all there in heaven. I'll still be God, but I'm going to go down there and live, be faced with everything they face, tempted like we are, yet without sin. He poured his life out. Why? So we could reach in the bucket and get a life.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.